Oliver Nelson with Screamin' the Blues. That's Oliver on tenor and alto sax, Richard Williams on trumpet, Eric Dolphy on alto sax and bass clarinet, Richard Wines on piano, George Duvivier, who happens to be the favorite member of this band for me, on bass, and Roy Haynes on drums. This is the title track from Nelson's 1960 album. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we clear out the week. We're going to be talking about Bernie Sanders today. I know we normally have Free Your Mind Friday, but in a way, it takes in the same elements as Free Your Mind because we'll be talking about Bernie Sanders terminating his presidential campaign, the fallout of that, and what you make of it. So we'll be talking about that today. And then we go back to our normal programming on next week. Well, as you know, Bernie Sanders, after all this time and amassing a great deal of interest among especially younger voters, last Wednesday, this past Wednesday, called it all off and said that he was not going to go any further with his presidential campaign. He was ending it. However, and this was very important, he said he's not ending his political involvement. He's ending his campaign because he had assessed, he had talked with people, he had taken a hard look at where he was in the campaign, and more importantly, where he had intended to go. And where he had intended to go was fraught with all kinds of impediments, and he didn't think that he was going to be able to overcome them. So rather than beat his head against the wall, he decided that he would stop the campaign and retool, still being involved in politics, still hoping to in some way influence the direction of the Democratic Party, and at the same time still continuing to build this movement. So today the first question is it too soon to have a requiem for that movement, the Sanders movement? Is it too soon for a requiem? Or do we have enough faith that he's really going to come out with something else that would affect our political reality in the United States? So this leaves the path clear open, no impediments for one Joe Biden. Biden has a clear lane ahead of him, and we'll see what he makes of that, because this is the direct benefit of Sanders's exit. It means that Biden now has a clear way to go. It doesn't seem that Biden is particularly interested in having a very close relationship with Bernie Sanders. We'll see where it goes. But your observations are the focus today of this discussion. What do you read into Sanders deciding, well, I'm done, I'm out of here, and I'm on to something else, which I will talk about later when I develop it. But for the time being, the most important thing to know is that I'm done. I'm done with this. What does it say about the Democratic Party? What does it say about the candidacy of Joe Biden? And what does it say about the Democrats' chances against Donald Trump? And considering all the other ancillary things that are contributing to the atmosphere right now, the political atmosphere, and I'm talking about the coronavirus, talking about the response, talking about the fact that we appear to be not, whether people still say whether we're headed there, my feeling is we're already there in a recession. And how are all these things going to play out in this 2020 election? So it's a slightly amended Free Your Mind Friday, in that we still do have a focus today, as opposed to our typical Free Your Mind Friday, where you talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. But this was such a momentous development that I thought we needed to pay some attention to it, and in a timely manner. This is as timely as we could get, according to our schedule. 888-874-4888 is the number to call, and let's hear what your thoughts are about these developments. Henry from Chicago, you start us off today.
How's it going, Eutrice?
Okay, how about you?
All right, we're trying to hang in there. Hopefully everybody, including yourself, Eutrice, has a healthy and safe weekend. You just threw a curveball into what I was going to talk about, but out of respect of the show, I will talk about
Sanders.
Yeah, I wasn't going to talk about Sanders, but I do have some thoughts about him. So I guess out of respect of the show, I will talk about my thoughts about that. In regards to your question, Bernie Sanders, I think it was too late to regroup this, you know, quote-unquote movement that he had back in 2016 when he capitulated with the Democratic Party by supporting Hillary Clinton. And I think he never recovered a lot of those, at least most of those supporters that was on, that was, you know, supporting him in 2016 back from, what he was doing this time around. So I think it was too late back then when he capitulated with the party. And why he chose to go back to the party that, to me, railroaded his campaign from 2016, why would he choose to go back there again is just baffling. So once again, and not in the same sense that they.
Why is it baffling? Why is it baffling? He saw an opportunity, and he saw an opportunity by virtue of the support that he had that nobody else in the Democratic Party had. And that is, he had this movement backing him, and he felt that that gave him a fighting chance.
But I mean, he chooses to associate with the Democratic corporation that, like I said, railroaded his campaign last time, and then they did it again, not in the same manner, but they did it again through the media. And so that's what's baffling me is you tend to hook yourself with the same party that, you know, that didn't destroy it, but just basically just threw you off the rails, and then they do it again. So to me, that's the baffling part about it.
Well, you have a point. I can't argue that. You do have a point. But, you know, yeah. Politics is a very strange thing. He might have seen something of a glimmer of hope that this movement was growing beyond expectation, and that with all the other things that he screwed up with in terms of an affiliation with the Democratic Party, he might have felt that the groundswell of support was sufficiently outside of the Democratic Party as to give him hope of continuing with this independent campaign.
And that was his mistake to hook back, because I think the movement would have grown. The movement would have grown outside of the Democratic Party. But unfortunately, because he decided to hook his campaign back to the Democratic Party, I think it stunted it. Matter of fact, I think he got less support this time around than he did last time. So that was his mistake. And in regards to, I think the second part of your question, in regards to what what Joe Biden's chances are, in beating Donald Trump in the in the main election, I still think Donald Trump is going to win, unfortunately. But I do see a glimmer, like a small window, that I can see Joe Biden winning.
You're not prepared to open it wide. You're just talking about a sliver of a chance.
It is a small window because of the situation that we're in right now with the economy and the coronavirus and how the administration is just botching this whole thing right now. But it is a very, very small window. And I think one of the things that he has to be very careful, Joe Biden has to be very careful, is who he's going to pick as his running mate. I think that is a very important choice for him, and it's got to be the right person. So, that's my
analysis. Well, he made a funny statement, and I don't understand it. He's coming for Kamala Harris. I didn't understand that statement that he made. I'm coming for Kamala Harris. I don't get it. But we will soon know. Well, thank you, sir. You got us off to a good start today. Thank you so much for that. Oh, you didn't answer one question. Are you there still, Henry? Okay. All right. Ed from Queens, you're on the air. What do you think of this development?
Hey, good afternoon, Utrice. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you.
That's good.
I see you upgraded me about my manners. Good afternoon to you.
it's quite all right. It's acceptable.
But you upbraided me, so I thank you.
It's quite all right. We live in interesting times sometimes. You forget. Pertaining to Bernie Sanders, I mean, I wasn't surprised. I was disappointed, but I wasn't surprised. As far as him and the Democratic Party in general, I mean, I'm totally done with him. As far as an African-American, I don't think they speak to my needs or my people's needs in any way, shape, or form. Joe Biden is a poor, poor choice. I share sentiments with the other caller that I don't think he's going to be able to beat Donald Trump, and I think they don't really care because either way, the small cadre of people that they service, it's a win-win for them. If Trump stays in, he can be the blame game for why we can't get anything done as far as Democrats. You see, we've got these blockhead Republicans, and Trump could be the main villain. And if Trump loses, Biden's just going to give you more of Obama. You know, the nice guy, hey, I like you, but I'm going to screw you with the invisible foot up your butt. I mean, it's, like the invisible hand, invisible foot. I mean, it's all the same difference. I mean, the thing that I see as far as any silver lining that's coming out of this, as far as talking to people in my comings and goings, as just like a vox pop, if you will, people are starting to wake up. They're starting to see the fraud. They're starting to see the chicanery, and they're not tolerating it. And the younger people are not tolerating it, and they're asking me questions. Cousins and nephews are asking me questions about politics and my views on them, so, since they've always heard me to be of some sort of a loudmouth with my views at family gatherings. And during these times, you're getting phone calls, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about the situation with the virus? How you think they're handling it? And I state my opinions. They're my opinions. They're not any type of fact. You can take them and leave them as you want. I try to base my opinions on the facts that I find. But I'm finding that more people are starting to become politically aware and realizing the power that they have. And hopefully that's a good sign. But other than that, this is
a
sad.
So is it too soon to say a requiem for Bernie Sanders and his movement?
He's done. I mean, if the movement can survive on the tenets of what he was trying to represent, that's great. But the movement was wrapped around him, and I believe in principles, not personalities. I mean, that's what politics should be about, issues and ethics, and platforms, not personal popularity contests. And a lot of this was due to his charisma, due to his appeal of what he was saying. And a lot of people didn't realize what he was saying. A lot of people don't even understand what socialism is and how much of a large movement socialism has been in this country from the 1920s, the 1930s. The basis of the Socialist Party was in Oklahoma. A lot of the ideas as far as state banks and publicly owned banks and worker representatives was founded in the Midwest before the Great Depression. And there was a purge of socialism. So people need to, that's what's happening now. Younger people are starting to ask me questions personally and starting to look, as far as I can see on the media-wise and on Facebook, starting to look into things that have been staples of this country for a long time, but due to the Red Scare, due to McCarthyism, the ideas of socialism and communism became conflated, and people don't really understand them. But to tell you the truth, the Quakers, they were the foundation of socialism as far as community activism and deciding on how you want your community to go and what resources you want and where you want your resources allocated. If you look at the Quaker movement, come on. I mean, there are perfect examples of perfectly socialist systems in this country, the Lodge movements of the 20s and the 30s. All of these things are starting to come back because people are starting to realize them. And with the internet and the ease of information, I think it's easier to find them than having to go through libraries and books. So I think we're going to see a movement. I mean, hopefully in my lifetime, I think I'm seeing the beginnings of it, but hopefully a change, because this system's got to go. It's wrong. It's too wrong to fix. It's too wrong to be repaired.
Just the same. Politics is what you have, you know, what you got and what you can do with what you got. Bernie Sanders, essentially, do you think he abandoned the expectations of his movement?
Oh, without question. I mean, people in his movement were really on the verge of a revolution. They wanted change, and they wanted him to be the harbinger of it, even though I never saw a 70-year-old man being harbinger of change in any way, shape, or form. But, you know what I mean? But people liked what he was saying. They liked what he was representing, and they were with it. And he didn't use that. He didn't use it the first time when he went with Hillary. And he definitely didn't use it now.
Wow. You make excellent points. Thank you so much for calling in and contributing today. Ed from Los Angeles, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrice.
Hello.
Hi. So I don't think the Democratic Party would have gone through all that trouble to set up a phony impeachment of Donald Trump to protect the Joe Biden campaign, only to have Bernie come along and knock him off as the nominee. So it was preordained that Biden would be selected. And Bernie is an oxymoron. While Bernie stands for all these things he says he stands for, he's running in a corporate Democratic Party, a party that's dominated by the corporate state. So it's hypocritical for him to have run in a party that doesn't stand for what he stands for. And maybe a few select people stand for what he stands for, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, but the majority of the people and the leaders of that party are beholden to the corporate state. That's why you don't hear Joe Biden talk about universal health care, because he's in the pockets of all the HMOs. And the same with Nancy Pelosi, who takes more money than most any other senators from HMOs. What I don't understand, and which kind of drives me crazy, it takes a lot of work to run a campaign. It takes a lot of work to go out there and do that stuff only to give up, only to do what you did in 2016. So I thought he would have learned his lesson and run as an independent, but he didn't. He ran in the same corporate structured party that was going to kick him out anyway, like they did in 2016. And that's what happened. And Joe Biden was selected all along.
Well, we did discuss that Joe Biden was the party's choice. It was so clear. And then came this charade of an impeachment of Trump, but it was really to protect Joe Biden and his candidacy. But at the same time, I mean, we tend to be, how should I say, we tend to be very, very judgmental when it comes to politics. And when we feel ourselves being invested in it, we become all the more judgmental. Do you think you're being too judgmental of Bernie Sanders here?
No, I think I'm being very cynical with some very good reasoning about what the Democratic Party has stood for the last 20 years. And I don't think, you know what really, I heard Bernie one day talk about, he didn't talk about what he stood for. He said, we've got to stop Trump. We've got to stop Trump. So, you know, if you only talk about what you're against and don't talk about what you're for, that can be a problem. So, and I think he had less of a fire this time than he had in 2016. But you can't run under a party for which you stand everything. If you stand against everything that party stands for, and it stands for taking money from corporations, then why would you hypocritically run in that party? Why would you not? You know, Ross Perot, and I give him a lot of credit, back in 1992, he took 25% of the vote. He was the third political candidate, and he's the reason Bill Clinton got in, because a lot of Republicans' votes were taken away from George H.W. Bush and given to Ross Perot, so Clinton won the White House. But he took a significant, we've never had anything like that in this country, 25% of the vote. And he stood on that debate stage with those two candidates. But again, they chased him out. The banks chased him out. He was against the NAFTA trade agreement, and rightly so. But the banks chased him out, so he wasn't heard for. It's very powerful, these corporations. And, you know, I really believe that you need a third party. This idea that you can reform a party like the Democratic Party ain't going to happen. They're corrupt, can't go back. We've already seen it now twice with Bernie, and they keep people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in the background.
So is this a requiem for the Democratic Party, or does it have a shot still in the future somewhere to revive itself and to become relevant to the struggle of the masses of people?
In my opinion, the Democratic Party is over. I think Trump will be reelected. I don't think people will take the Democratic Party very seriously. And Biden really doesn't stand a chance anyway, and he doesn't really stand for what people want. And so, yeah, I mean, Democrats don't really have anything to offer the people. I mean, Bernie did, but he ran under the wrong party.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thanks so much for calling in and contributing. Thank you so much. From New York, Ma'at, you're on the air.
Yes. Greetings and much love to the beloved PR and family. I'd like to hear some discussion about the structural issues of running as an independent that's baked in, because Perot was a billionaire, you know, like, especially at that time, like the former mayor of New York, Bloomberg. And I believe in order to get onto the ballot in all 50 states, there's something that they baked in that needs to be discussed and addressed. But I'm glad that Bernie is going to continue to gain delegates so he can have a strong position in the platform. But I was crestfallen when he pulled out, because I thought, you, Teresa, that you were so on point in terms of, and continuing, the criminal nature. I mean, there's no way that those three states told people and told black people who are, three plus times more to fall down and be dead from coronavirus, for them to stop the physical / social distancing. You gave an excellent piece. I hope at some point, you know, when you're resting or what have you, you replay that, because to me, Bernie, and we need to engage Ralph Nader. He's quite accessible on Thursday. He comes on with a radio show after you, Utrecht, and we need to ask him and focus him and his associates and colleagues as to those primaries. That was a criminal enterprise. And then they did it in Milwaukee. They gave black people who had 180 polling sites 5 places to go. So that means that they were definitely likely, with any underlying conditions, to be made sick. So I think Bernie needs to address the fact of what you maybe you should send him that clip.
Bernie has had all the information he could ever have needed to do something different. He's had it. He has no excuse. There's something that is happening behind the scenes that we don't know, but we should, because we are not getting adequate explanations for the foul-ups. Despite the fact, I mean, you look at the enthusiasm behind Bernie. You look at the organization. I mean, this is self-organization behind Bernie. That was miraculous. That people went out door to door, knocking on doors, organizing the old-fashioned way to give him the platform that he needed and the clout that he needed within the Democratic Party. But in the end, it seemed as if from all of that, it was a wrong-headed move to think that the Democratic Party would embrace you. It will cooperate. It would give you as much help as you needed to succeed. That was really mind-boggling to me, that was an assumption that you could work your own thing within the party. I didn't get that. I mean, I thought there was greater wisdom than what eventually was shown. I couldn't understand how Bernie did that. But then I couldn't understand his alliance with Hillary Clinton and a lot of things that you would think would come before a group of people who would be considered as policy people within his movement. And because they proved that they could make things happen. So why would Bernie now look as if he is doing this on his own? He's conducting a campaign on his own, even though he knows he's, causing a lot of problems with his own people. They're asking the same questions we are talking about today. So I didn't understand that. And he stayed on that line as if to say, I see the vision, I have the vision, it is clear to me, if you believe in me, you will support me, and made it a kind of, a dare. If you believe in me, you will go along with what I'm seeing and what I'm saying. I didn't understand that. Okay, Maharaj, are you still with us?
Yes, yes, I'm trying to be with you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. What's so tragic about the situation is the corporate Democrats, they are so blindsided. I mean, Trump will wipe the floor with Biden. It's a true scandal in terms of his judgment and influence peddling. How you, even the Obama administration tried to warn him, you're in charge of Ukraine and you let your son be in that position. He was recently on MSNBC with Nicole Wallace, and he made such a fool of himself. He said a couple things, and then he decided to apologize and to say, well, I didn't exactly mean it like that, it just was nonsensical that he, his PR people would tell him not to assert himself in a confident way and say, well, I really didn't mean to say that. Maybe I didn't say that. I mean, that's nonsensical. You see, so Trump
what happens now? Okay, do you sense that this is the end of the so-called movement?
Well, I hope not. I certainly hope not. I don't think that can be, especially now that we're in the middle of whatever this pandemic is really all about. So, you know, it's got to be a reset button, because there will be no viable society.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you. Thanks, Maude, for calling in today. Sinclair of Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, you, Treese.
Hello. How are you?
I'm fine. Yourself?
Oh, I'm hanging in, like we all are.
Okay.
So what do you make of this termination of Bernie Sanders' campaign? What should we be looking at?
I think that Bernie has had a revelation. I think he has sat down and really studied the entire landscape. He saw how they frustrated him after he had those three remarkable wins in the primaries, and then they frustrated him, knocked him down to zero, and prompted up Biden to be the front runner. So I think he saw the handwriting on the wall. So even if he was to be elected president, they were going to continue to frustrate him and wouldn't let him achieve his objectives for the people. So I think Bernie has something up his sleeve. I think the movement is still alive, and he's going to approach, and he's going to use that movement in another way where he's going to follow the successful paths of other people who have used the movement of the people to turn the government into their favor, to make the government.
Like who?
Like Nelson Mandela, like Mahatma Gandhi, like Martin Luther King, like Adam Clayton Powell.
Martin Luther King didn't run for office. None of these people ran for office.
That's my point.
Could you give
that's
us an example
point.
Of an American candidate?
No, that's my point. They were able to get the government to bow down to their demands by not being an elected personality. That's my point. I think Bernie's going to step into those same shoes and become another a leader of the people without being an elected official.
But has he not lost great credibility with this move of
no,
just saying, okay, I'm done, I'm out of here, good luck, fellas?
Well, he has tremendous momentum behind him, and you just don't lose that momentum overnight. I think he will talk to his people. If he's thinking like I'm speaking now, he will talk to his people and get them involved in how to turn this country around by just getting out in the streets and making our demands be known. That's the success that I've seen historically in the past, and I think I hope that's the future way that Bernie wants to.
The reality of the situation. He's in his 70s. What you are talking about means that he will have to start this movement, such as you define it. He'll be starting from scratch. He does not have the energy to undertake a mass movement, building a mass movement. That's what his supporters did for him. They built the movement for him and provided the platform for him to be the leader and introducing new thoughts about how this country should be run. What is the role of the average citizen? Why is it that it is always top down and not from bottom up? He can't. He's had a heart attack already. Physically, he can't take on that strain without seriously causing damage to himself. I mean, that's a practical matter of it. Internally, it suggests that the movement fell apart because there was little in the way of internal discussion and strategy planning. And it all was about, we're going to do all the work, and you stand up there and articulate. And that was wrong too. This is a movement. It's a movement. And the movement is growing out of, or it grew out of, gross dissatisfaction with the status quo. And if he were to think now, having left the race, that he can again return to that circle and have power and influence within it, he's fantasizing. He's done. And he pulled the trigger.
Yes, I agree with you in a sense that Bernie's up in age, but, and I think he respects that. And what he's going to do, I hope, is that he's going to turn that energy over to the youth, the people, the supporters you speak of, and he's going to have them put their hands on the wheel and drive this country and drive the movement against whatever the government is doing that's opposing the people's wishes. And he did that in 16, and after he after he relinquished everything to the Democratic Party at the request of Hillary, he saw he developed like the AOCs that learned, took a lesson from his page book, and they went out there and got themselves in office. And I think he's going to use that kind of roadmap to create a lot of more AOCs out there to go ahead and infiltrate the government.
Well, I disagree that he created the Alexandria Cortez's of the world. I disagree with that. I think it's the other way around. I think the people inspired him more so than the other way around. And this was what was unique about this movement. For the first time since, I guess, the 60s, we saw younger people not content simply to be the window dressing and the foot soldiers, but playing a critical role in the planning and the strategy. And they did so successfully. Cortez, as you may recall, bested a multi-term congressman and won. Nobody saw it coming, myself included. I didn't even hear about Alexandria Cortez until after the election.
Exactly.
And then I said, who is this person? Well,
exactly.
It means
she made the announcement that she got her plan book from supporting Bernie's campaign back in 16. And that's when she threw her hat into the ring. So I think...
Yes, but don't discount the fact that she put a lot of work into supplanting that congressman and getting a hold of his office for herself. Don't underestimate that.
No,
that was extraordinary work.
Yes,
but
I think it's a mixture of both. You know, you're going to have the supporters, you're going to have the ones that's going to go to the forefront and put in the work, and that together will make the movement strong. And Bernie will be just like, the man behind the curtain pulling the levers.
Yeah, you see, I think the days for that are done. He has been given the benefit, a great many benefits, the benefit of doubt, the benefit of other people's hard work, the benefit of people organizing based on what he articulated as a vision. And I think in the end, they believe that he betrayed it and betrayed them. I don't know how successful he could be in recouping anything out of that. I think he made his bed and he has to lie in it. Unfortunately, you don't get the sense that Bernie Sanders was having discussions while he was in turmoil about whether he should exit the race or continue. I don't get the sense that he was talking to the people who beat the pavements, who knocked on doors within his movement. I don't get that sense at all. So we'll see. But thank you so much for your contribution today. I really appreciate your call.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Utrice. I hope that you have a good weekend and you had your lentil soup yesterday.
Actually, I had split pea soup instead.
Okay, well, they're basically
you're close.
The same and made the same way. I enjoy both myself. I'd just like to say this whole situation with Bernie Sanders is a wake-up call on how bad and inept the Democratic Party is and how certain individuals in our community, a.k.a. John Carbon, could lead us into a totally disastrous situation. I equate it with one of the last things Martin Luther King said, that he may have been integrating us and helping us into a burning building. Because I'm sorry to say this, but this thing that we are facing over the next months and years ahead is going to be disastrous for majority of the people in this country. We are heading towards a crisis in this country because of the ineptness of who we have in office and the lack of vision and leadership that we have in the Democratic Party that I'm sorry to say we may not never recover from, because everything as we move forward is going to be absolutely in dire straits if this man opens up this country before this pandemic is organized and put into place to whereas lives will not be lost.
I hate to bring down reality like a ton of bricks, but it has to be said. We need to stop talking about that. What Trump is going to do, what is likely to happen, the bottom line is we have no control. And that is by choice.
Whose choice?
We choose to have no control. We absent ourselves. We think in simplistic terms that all that is required is to show up on voting day and then that's the end of that. No.
That's a joke.
Every community that invests is looking for and demanding returns on their investment. We don't do that.
Only one. We the only community that doesn't really, if truth be told, have a plan nor a vision for our future. We're the only community. That's why, if the truth be told, we don't have communities. That's why we don't have neighborhoods.
We allow people to disregard and disrespect us. Because once that vote is over and they get what they want, you know, essentially they tell us, you go to hell, I don't even know you. And then we let it become a self-fulfilling prophecy. We do not, as a group, a racial group in this country, when it comes to politics, we do not punish people. We do not insist on the appropriate returns on our investment. And we support the wrong folks who propose the wrong things. But that's besides the point. Today we're talking about Bernie Sanders. And what just happened here? What happened? Did it occur to you? You haven't seen any person of color being asked by any medium what happened? give us your thoughts. We don't exist.
Well, what happened was that the media did not allow Bernie to put forward his message, and Bernie didn't do a good job in explaining his message, if the truth be told. Because once they attacked him with the whole socialist thing, it was basically a rap for him, because he didn't put together the necessary platform and ideas to explain what democratic socialism was and how, in essence, it would benefit the people. But the reality is socialism is here. Social Security is socialism. What they're doing in
socialism is in the coronavirus. There's great social, the rich, the wealthy, they always are taken care of. They have no problems. This country has been decidedly socialistic when it comes to the 1%. They have no problem with it. It's the working people.
You have to be able to articulate it to the masses. If you can't articulate it to the masses what's going on, then how could you put forward a narrative to make people understand what you're dealing with? Unfortunately,
all right, so Jay, it has happened. It has happened. He's out. Now what happens?
Some sort of situation where we can make demands. We have to come together as some sort of group and
radio network
against them.
Who are you making demands of
that
will actually listen to you? Who are you making demands of? And what demands?
You have no
means of punishing anybody. That's the first requirement you have to have when you're in the business of making demands. We have no way of punishing anybody who does not fulfill our demands. We don't even have the appetite to do it. We disgrace ourselves doubly by letting them get away with it. We do not play politics well. Politics is not our game. When you get into this level of politics, and this was what was so impressive, believe it or not, in terms of the potential of Sanders' movement, is that you had numbers. You had hundreds of thousands of people who, in turn, could have been a defense system when it came to deciding what our demands are going to be. We don't have that. We do it all the time, over and over and over and over and over again. We want to shake hands and sing, "We Shall Overcome." Well, we need to change that tune to "We Are Overcome." We don't get anything because we make no demands, and we make no demands because we have no way to back it up, no history of backing up our demands, no history of demonstrable proof that we're not playing. You see, this is how you play politics. When I demand A, B, C, and D, I aim to get it. And we mobilize so that we can get it. But we don't do that. James Clyburn, you mentioned him from South Carolina, the guy who is responsible, principally a black member of Congress, for breathing life into the dead candidacy of Joe Biden. Breathing life and possibility of his survival. And guess what? When was the last time you saw Jim Clyburn talking about anything See, we're playing games, and we have to stop it. We've got to confront our own internal contradictions, and there are many. And they directly impede our progress. Thanks a lot. Good to hear from you. We still have perhaps the ability to take one more call. John from Jersey, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
Did you say the other day, pinky toe? Did you say pinky toe the other day?
Pinky toe?
I just thought it was pinky toe.
Pinky toe. Said, I don't know. I don't recall that.
Right. Well, I mean, I love the way that sounds. Pinky toe. I'm calling because we're done. We are done. We have been cooked on both sides, burned on both sides. There's the only way out of this is to stop talking and do something about it. Get outside and do something about it. Lay your life on the line because that's what's going to take. It's not going to be able to be done within the system. This system is a fraud since day one. It's a complete fraud. You know, I was thinking, the reason that we are now a corrupt country is because we never got to the bottom of who killed JFK and toasted those people. We never found out who actually, why they did kill Lincoln. They killed JFK. They killed Martin Luther King. They killed JFK's Bobby Kennedy. Anybody who dared to say anything opposed to what they wanted to do, which is basically get control of everything, get the money from whoever they can, which means I guarantee you, I bet my house that after this so-called pandemic is over, that all those people that went out on a limb to get a mortgage, to buy a house, will lose their homes. They will be in the streets, thousands upon thousands of families in the streets with nothing to eat and no place to go. And the banksters, they'll be laughing asses off. They'll be cleaning up Puerto Rico, putting money into Puerto Rico, because Puerto Rico is a paradise, you know. And we're sorry that we let the people from Puerto Rico have that paradise. We should have took that paradise.
Well, you raise some dire consequences for us to think about, but I see where you're going. And we have to end it now because we're out of time. Thanks so much for calling, John, and contributing. Thank you all for calling and contributing. The thing is, as a political being, you have to get out of the idea that you have to take sides. The only side that should be of interest to you is the side that you define as the right way to go. Not just you, but the whole sector of people who came together and formed a movement. That's the only thing that should guide. That should be the guide. And we become personally involved all the time, which is bad news. You can't get anything done when you're constricted by emotional pulls and tugs this way and that. You should be able to see a thing clearly. Clearly. It's just like now, people who were part of Bernie's movement, they're feeling upset, but they feel obligated still to defend him. No, he made mistakes. He's got to understand that. He made serious mistakes. So you have to take a clinical look at how things developed. What was the role of that sector within this movement that could have exercised some degree of influence? But here we are, and he is out of the game. And that was his personal decision. That should never have been his personal decision. It should have been a collective, since that was the basis on which this movement was operating. It was a collective transacting in the interest of the whole. You see, contradictions all over the place. But let's see where this goes. We are clear that now what was kept hidden, which was that the intention was to float Joe Biden in the first place by the Democrats. That was the intention. I've talked about it. Well, that has happened. Let's see where they go from here. But let's see what we can do to build our reinforcements and to continue to represent the interests of people who are being targeted by the system. Let's see if we can do that. Maintain clarity. Clarity. That's what's going to save us all. Clarity. Thanks so much for listening and contributing. This is the weekend. Surround yourselves with people who bring great and positive dimension to your life. And we'll see each other Monday. Bye-bye.